From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, May 21st. I'm Abby Larico. You don't have to look far to find a clean-cut, green lawn. Turf grass dominates our communities, but the traditional yard is facing an environmental reckoning.
A lot of people really view their yard as like an extension of themselves.
How lawns became the default landscape and how they're changing. That story coming up on The Gateway. A St. Louis judge will begin hearing evidence today in an attempt by prosecutors to free Christopher Dunn from prison. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more on what to expect.
Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore filed a motion to vacate Dunn's conviction in February. Over the course of 3 days, his office will lay out the reasons they believe the charges should be thrown out. A jury convicted Dunn of a 1990 murder based solely on the testimony of two adolescent boys who later recanted. A court has ruled that Dunn likely would not be convicted without their testimony, but a quirk of Missouri law means he is still behind bars. The state law creating the mechanism for prosecutors to review a case gives the attorney general the right to defend the conviction. That office has been aggressive in the past in arguing against efforts to vacate, and documents filed with the court seem to indicate that stance has not changed. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Governor Mike Parsons says Missouri taxpayers should not be on the hook for possible legal expenses in a defamation lawsuit filed against three Missouri senators. The Missouri Independent reports Governor Parsons addressed the commissioner of the Office of Administration yesterday about a defamation case stemming from the shooting at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. In social media posts, GOP Senators Rick Bratton, Denny Hoskins, and Nick Schroer falsely accused a Kansas man of being the shooter and an undocumented immigrant. He's now suing. Parson told the agency that certifies payments from the state's legal expense fund not to make any payments related to the lawsuit without his approval or a court order. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is representing the legislators. The governor has previously criticized the attorney general's decision to defend them. St. Louis Congresswoman Cori Bush has reintroduced legislation that seeks to support those impacted by police violence. The Helping Families Heal Act would establish mental health grant programs within the Department of Health and Human Services. That money would then fund local efforts supporting victims, families, and peers of people connected to officer-involved shootings. Bush said in a statement that she wants to invest in the health, safety, and well-being of communities while working to end police brutality, mass incarceration, and cycles of trauma. The legislation is a collaboration with Leslie McSpadden, the mother of the late Michael Brown Jr., and the bill was reintroduced yesterday on what would have been Brown's 28th birthday. Brown was shot and killed by a police officer in Ferguson in 2014. 13 officers from across Illinois received the state's Law Enforcement Medal of Honor yesterday. The award is given to members of law enforcement who died, were injured, or showed, quote, exceptional bravery or heroism while on duty. This year's honorees included officers who pulled people out of a building after a tornado and officers who were gravely injured while responding to calls. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the medal winners put themselves between civilians and danger.
Their bravery saved lives. And on behalf of the people of Illinois, our gratitude and our reverence are unending. We ask so much of you, and you always deliver.
Officers from the Belvedere Police Department, Chicago Police Department, Illinois State Police, and Lake County Sheriff's Office were honored. Illinoisans could soon be allowed to carry an electronic driver's license or state ID in addition to a physical card. The Illinois House passed a measure allowing the Secretary of State's office to put systems in place to allow that. Democratic State Representative Cam Buckner of Chicago is the sponsor and says this would be another option, but it won't completely replace physical IDs.
I think, you know, as Illinois continues to move forward and embrace the technological advances, this is the right step for us.
People will need to keep their physical license in case a police officer wants to see it. Real IDs, which can be used to board domestic flights, will not be available electronically. The measure now moves to the Senate, where sponsors expect to make a couple of changes. It's the springtime, and most of us have rolled out the lawnmower or heard that telltale noise. But in the U.S., there's an ongoing debate over the traditional turf grass yard. Harvest Public Media contributor Teresa Homsey explains how lawns became the default in American communities and today's environmental reckoning.
In the summer, Denise Whitebread Fanning's yard is filled with flowers like zinnias, black-eyed Susans, and milkweed. Her overgrown garden sticks out among the rows of tidy lawns here in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. But she says she's never understood the desire for manicured green grass.
It's so beautiful to come out here and witness this like evolving ecosystem and to see all of the new life that is finding home here that didn't exist on this land 2 years ago.
Fanning is among a growing group that's reimagining lawns. Dozens of municipalities across the Midwest, including Mount Pleasant, are considering loosening restrictions on the height of grass or even what can be grown. There are strong feelings about what lawns should look like.
A lot of people really view their yard as like an extension of themselves.
Michael Barnes is a rare social scientist in the field of horticulture. The University of Minnesota researcher says lawns are sort of synonymous with the American dream and home ownership.
Having a nicely maintained yard is like part of feeling good about not only your contribution to the neighborhood, but also like fitting in with the rest of the community.
He says lawns have been around for centuries. As early as the 1200s, people were already making guidelines on how to cultivate a grassy space. They later became popular with European elites around their intricate gardens. But the modern American lawns we know and love, or hate, cropped up more recently.
It's really that post-war suburbanization that drew lawns into kind of the de facto form of vegetation in urban areas.
Lawns are also now highly industrialized. The landscaping service industry in the U.S. has a market value of around $150 billion.
There's nothing that is natural about a lawn or a landscape that is completely turf grass.
Zach Shum, an entomologist at Iowa State University, is not a fan of turf grass. He says monoculture lawns are essentially ecological dead zones.
Not many insects are utilizing turf grass spaces for food, water, and shelter. A lot of them tend to be pests. All of the pollinators we think of, a lot of the beneficial insects utilize flowering plants, larger trees, shrubs, things like that.
And lawns use a lot of resources. Fuel for mowers, chemical pesticides, fertilizers, and tons of water. According to an EPA estimate, landscape irrigation accounts for nearly a third of all residential water use, about 9 billion gallons a day. Water usage is what caught geographer Christina Malese's attention when she moved to Montana from Italy and noticed how her new neighbors watered their lawns.
At times they would just keep watering, even maybe when a thunderstorm. And so I said, oh, interesting.
This inspired her 2005 study for NASA that calculated how much land lawns take up. Turns out they're estimated to be the largest irrigated crop in the U.S., three times that of corn.
That captures where generally most of us live in cities, and that's where we can maybe have an impact on changing our behaviors.
Today, Malese says she doesn't know whether lawns take up more or less land. Urban sprawl has increased, but turf grass is also becoming impractical in places prone to drought like California, where she currently lives. Turf grass scientists say we do use lawns. They're welcoming spaces, places to gather and play. But lawns could be pared down. In Michigan, Denise Whitebread Fanning's yard has become a pollinator haven. She understands that her busy, colorful lawn is an acquired taste and says not everyone needs to rip up all of their grass.
Even the smallest thing, like planting one beneficial pollinator plant, right, in your yard that wasn't there last year is going to feed more pollinators this year than before. Making a choice to not put pesticides on your lawn anymore, small little things matter.
And Fanning is playing a part in a larger movement to redefine the lawn. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Teresa Homsey.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.